Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo, sponsored by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. Malzi, why don't you start, Ray, with the fun one before we get into the Steelers?
Ray, we just had a big debate since Ross Tucker, the pride of Wyomissing High School, said Terrell Pryor was the greatest high school football player he's ever seen, described a very funny story from the state championship game. Who is the best Western Pennsylvania high school football player you have ever seen?
You know, Pryor was really good, but LeVar Arrington was probably on that level. I know LeVar didn't play quarterback. He didn't have the ball in his hands as much, but he was a freak from the time he was a freshman, just like Pryor.
Ray, I'm glad you said that because Pony was just killing me for hemming and hawing because it was between those two. I also took basketball class at Penn State, Ray. I'd like to challenge myself with the more rigorous coursework there. The military drill instructor who taught the class said they once put a quarter, they got a ladder, because LeVar took the class, most of the football players did. They took a quarter, put it on top of the foam on the backboard there. LeVar took one step into a 2-foot broad, vertical jump, plucked the quarter off the backboard like it was nothing.
Yeah, like pull up the combine numbers from what it would have been like 99?
2000. 2000.
Yeah, I bet you LeVar was up over 40 on his vertical.
Ray, what's the best reason you have for why the Steelers passed on Shedeur Sanders 3 times in the draft last week?
Tony, you asked me, I think, a week or two ago if I heard the meeting on the south side went bad. I didn't hear that, and I still haven't heard that. But I think there's a school of thought that if Shedeur Sanders is going to start his career as a backup, and he's not going to be treated like a starting quarterback in waiting, what backup quarterback in the NFL has that entourage, has that brand, has everything that's going on around him? So I think the NFL spoke. I think a lot of owners and GMs and coaches didn't want to deal with that so-called circus, and I think that's where we are. I was as shocked as anyone that he fell to the 5th round. I wasn't all that surprised that he fell out of the 1st round, but to see him go from 2 to 3 to 4, and then, listen, if the Browns don't take him in 5, I don't know who's going to take him. So thankfully for Shador's sake, the Browns finally pulled the trigger in the 5th round.
Ray, we know that in 2022, all the rage before the draft was, Mike Tomlin especially, and the Steelers like Malik Willis, that's their guy. Turns out, we found out it was Pickett, Ridder, Willis on their board. He was at best 3rd. Where do you think Shedeur Sanders, because we heard the same thing here, that, they'll take him, they like him, there's a lot of people in that room are fans. Where do you actually think they had him on their quarterback board for this draft?
Well, I think Cam Ward was everyone's number one. We know that the Steelers had a first-round grade on Jackson Dart. So I would believe Shedeur is probably anywhere from, 3 to 7, I would say. I think they like Shock. I wish I knew if they liked him more than Shedeur Sanders. And you make a great point, Chris. The smoke screens are everywhere throughout the pre-draft process, you know, especially with these pro days. You know, the Steelers, if you look at this, and I wrote about this for Sunday, the Steelers kind of tell you the truth with the pre-draft visits. You know,
yep.
They brought in three of the seven draft picks that they selected over the weekend. Three of them came in for visits. Out of the 21 players that Omar has drafted in his three drafts, 12 have come in for visits. So that's a real thing. I think the other stuff, the pro days, you know, all the chatter you hear at the combine, stuff like that, I think that's really where Mike kind of has a little bit of fun with people and, you know, kind of, you know, makes it a competition. And he said it last Tuesday, you know, it's the fun part, you know, kind of trying to, you know, lead people one way when maybe you're thinking another way. He kind of thinks it's a big game.
So, based on what you just said there, if the Browns had passed on Sanders and yeah. Howard and Sanders were both there in the sixth round, who do you think the Steelers would have picked, Ray?
I think probably Howard. And I, like I told you guys, I think they thought Shador was a good kid. I still didn't get any feedback that they were turned off by the interview. But I just think they weren't convinced he was ever going to be a starting level player for them. And when you look at a guy like Will Howard, like Will Howard's going to come in here, he's going to grind, he's going to put his net down, and he's not going to mind being a number three for a year. If you put that on Shador Sanders' plate, I think there's a lot of questions about how that guy would handle it. So I think the Steelers and probably every other team in the league except for the Browns kind of went through that calculus when, you know, when it came time to make that call.
Ray, what's, in your opinion, the motivating factor behind taking – I think everyone likes the player and especially likes the value, but positionally not a place people thought they had a need, Jack Sawyer. What do you think underpinned that decision by the brass?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at some of the draft analysts, like Daniel Jeremiah had him number 70. I think somebody else had him late second-round pick. I mean, to get him at number 123 – you know, there were a lot of people out there who thought he was going to go higher in the draft. So not that all the draft analysts have all the answers, but it seems like the Steelers were in line with that. And Omar talked about that when they came in and, you know, they made that pick. You know, the value was too good there to pass up. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits. I think, you know, short term he'll be number four. Alex Highsmith is 27. He's got 3 years left. You know, we all expect TJ to, I think, get at least a three-year deal. So, you know, maybe in 2027, 2028, you know, he's a guy who signs a second contract. Or at the very least, he's just a really good backup for 4 years. And then, you know, he moves on to another team. A lot of people have compared him to Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike Vrabel was only here for a rookie contract. He didn't go on to, you know, I hesitate to say stardom, but he didn't go on to become Mike Vrabel until he got to the Patriots after he left the Steelers. So I think he's a similar type of player.
Ray, our lads lists Caleb Johnson as the Steelers' starting running back, and the ESPN's analytical model for 2025, I don't know how the hell they do it with the simulations, but whatever, they have Johnson as putting up better numbers than Jaylen Warren this year. So I'm just curious, like, how do you see that running back room shaping up? Is it possible that Caleb Johnson, like Le'Veon Bell did as a second-round pick, Johnson a third, steps right in and is the starter, and Caleb Warren retains the role that he's had with the Steelers the entire time he's been here?
I will say this, Pony. I think by season's end, you will see a Jaylen Warren, like Najee Harris-like split in the carries. I think it's going to be really close. You know, 55-45, pretty close to 50-50. But you know the way the Steelers operate. They're not going to hand Caleb Johnson the starting job. So to say he's going to be RB1 coming out of training camp, that's just not going to happen. But, you know, to your point, Jaylen Warren is the better third down back. He's the better pass protector. He's the better receiver out of the backfield. So if you look at it just from that simple perspective, I think he is going to retain his role there. And then the Steelers are going to find ways to use Caleb Johnson on first and second down. And that makes all the sense in the world. He's a great fit for Arthur Smith's scheme. The outside zone is what he ran at Iowa. That's what Arthur wants to do here. So, yeah, eventually he is going to be the first and second down back. But I don't think you're going to see that necessarily very early on in the season.
Ray, three drafts into now Omar Khan and Andy Weidel being GM and assistant GM, and we see early picks that have been spent, like the sheer number on offensive and defensive linemen, and then big guys like Caleb Johnson, a big back, for example.
Yeah.
How much should we read into that being Andy Weidel's influence? Like, what does that say about his level of say-so in how they're conducting these drafts?
Yeah, I think Omar saw it too. You know, I think Andy is the guy who does all of the scouting there, but he's very much in sync with Omar and Mike on that. And, you know, Mike had that interview on the NFL Network on Saturday afternoon before he came in to talk to us, and he said before he even got to the shower in Baltimore, he was thinking about how they can become a more physical football team. So all the fans saw it, and Mike Tomlin and the rest of that coaching staff saw it as well. So, you know, I've said this before. I think guys like DeMarvin Leal and Loudermilk and guys who have just kind of been hanging around and not doing much, all those guys were put on notice. You know, I think Valle Black is going to get a shot to get into that rotation this year, no matter that he's a rookie. I think people kind of saw what happened at the end of the year, and I think people said, we got to do something. Here's what we're going to do. And then Omar went out and executed it over the weekend.
Ray Fittipaldo, check him out, postgazette.com. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys, talk to you next week.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.